This is Amy Holmes in All Week with John Hockenberry, and we are joined by my former boss, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
So as you're watching this healthcare debate unfold, do you wish you were still back in the mix in the Senate?
Amy, it is so good to be out of there. No, of course I do. I spent 20 years in medicine and heart and lung transplantation, worked for a socialized system over in England for a year, and did a lot of policy in healthcare there. It's very exciting. Challenges are out there. Needs have been identified, so I'd love to be there. But as you can see, it's like making sausage. Very tough time for our legislators and for the American people.
Well, you have a lot of on your resume. I mean, doctor and senator. Amy, you're a former speechwriter for Senator Frist. I'm wondering if it's tougher to be a speechwriter for you or tougher to be a surgical assistant for you.
Yeah, that's right. You'll have to ask Amy. You know, well, a lot of people, it is all healing. And it's interesting, really healing one-on-one to going to the United States Senate, losing your mind and going to the Senate and healing there as well. But it's a great opportunity to serve the American people there.
So let's look at the policy of healthcare that's been being debated. What's the good in it, and what do you think is the bad?
Well, Amy, first of all, we have huge problems in our healthcare system today, and I say that as one who literally has been on the ground. The biggest challenge, I think, is the cost, and that's what really most people see out there. The fact that their premiums are going up three times faster than wages, it simply can't be sustained. And then the big, really egalitarian challenge out there is that how in the richest country in the world, where most people today do think we have an obligation, I certainly do, and a responsibility to take care of those people who can't take care of themselves, that 20 million hardcore uninsured out there, how do we bring them into the market? And to do all of that, which is the challenge that our legislators have, in a time where our debt is skyrocketing as a country, a doubling of our number of seniors, a challenge where people are going bankrupt in their own lives every day now. How do you add a huge cost, a huge expense to bring those people into the system?
Well, let me quibble with your assumption there at the risk of being a bad host here, Senator. You say that how do we bring them into the market, those 20 million uninsured? Mm-hmm. I mean, in fact, the market kicked them out.
They did.
So it's not a matter of bringing them into the market. I mean, the government explicitly has to do what the market won't do.
I agree.
I don't know if there's a market-based solution here.
I agree. Oh, there is a market-based solution. We got 160 million people out there today who are in private insurance. And if you basically say, let's take that away, put them into, for example, a government plan, what will happen is what I saw in England. It really will be a rationing of care.
All right, government plan, dirty word, government co-op, dirty
well,
word?
Well, you know, government plan is not a dirty word. I think what a dirty word is a public plan that is nationalized, that takes away patient choice, that ultimately results in being a system like in England that discourages innovation. That's what's bad. The public plan itself is not bad. So clearly, as a backup, you need to have something outside of the private sector. And that could be local. It could be state-run. It could be a coalition. It could be a cooperative.
So let's get back to the politics of this. It looks like that those Blue Dog Democrats have slowed down the process, and the House and the Senate will not meet this August recess deadline. Why do you think this is happening? How have the politics played out?
You know, I think President Obama really took a misstep here. And even today, he ends up bashing the previous administration, and that's sort of his mantra. It works in a campaign. It probably works for the first couple of months. But what he really should have been doing is uniting the Democrats, people like Jim Cooper from Tennessee, a Blue Dog Democrat. It's a centrist Democrat who basically says, we can't add $1.6 trillion in additional spending today.
Well, he's on the program later. Actually,
we're talking with him. Well, basically, I think that the President Obama, again, he's the most inspirational politician I've ever met. But at the end of the day, he should have been focusing on those Blue Dog Democrats, bringing them into the room.
Well, let me grab two things that you just said, because I really can't resist. I mean, on the one hand, you're saying we want entrepreneurial sort of innovation in healthcare, not like in England. Mm-hmm. Yet the innovation that happens in American healthcare is focused on end-of-life procedures, expensive procedures. It's not in the preventive aspect, the sort of cost reduction areas that might actually help all of our health. It's much more in the sort of expensive kind of surgical end of medicine.
No,
as a
no.
surgeon, why do we take a doctor's advice on reforming healthcare when so much of the cost of healthcare is associated with the kind of procedures that you do?
Yeah, well, first of all, I am a heart and lung transplant surgeon. It's very, very expensive and life-saving. But I also understand the importance of clean water, the number one killer of people in the world today, around the world, public health issues, research on basic things like prevention have to be increased. They're ongoing today. We do emphasize specialized care too much over primary care, and that's one of the good things that President Obama is doing in this legislation, is focusing on primary care, and countries like England and even Canada do a better job than us. It's rebuilding the incentives of the greatest health care, yes, technology, but also, I would argue, basic health care in terms of prevention, in terms of innovation in the world. The problem is it is an inadequate distribution. We're leaving 46 million people out of what 220 million, 230 million people are taking advantage of.
You sure you don't wish you were back?
So you've been talking to some of these members of the Gang of Six, as they're called, three Republican senators, three Democratic senators.
Baucus, Grassley.
And so forth. What compromises do you think need to be made in order for there to be a bipartisan consensus on the Senate side?
Yeah, Amy, I think right now we can't spend $1.6 trillion at a time. Then our people listening to us are losing their jobs. Companies are going bankrupt. People are operating on margins. And to say that you're going to have to fork up $1.6 trillion. So you're going to have to squeeze the program down maybe to $500 billion as a first step. President Obama basically wants to cure all of the problems in 6 months. And although he's a great politician, the American people know. They know that you can't do that. You can't.
Healthcare is one-sixth of the economy.
It's the size of France. 18% of the economy. And maybe that's not even so bad. The problem is growing much faster than any other part of the economy and what growing faster than one wages. President Obama can't keep promising the insurance that he has as a United States senator or that Bill Frist had to 46 million people and then basically look at people and say, you're not going to have to pay for it at all. You just can't do that in this day and time.
Well, I got to just – but isn't it worth $1.5 trillion if we actually do get health care reform? I mean, imagine what we've spent on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I think that's what Americans are asking. Let's pay some money for this. This is worth something to me.
But they're not. Right now, the Democrat plan that's on the table – the Waxman plan, the only one that's been written, says that those people making more than $175,000 apiece, a couple making $350,000, are going to have to pay an additional $20,000 tomorrow, soon, in order to cover the 46 million people who have promised a gold-plated Cadillac version of a plan. That simply can't be done in this day and time. I am for 100% coverage, or coverage for 100% of America, affordable coverage. I am Bill Frist, Republican. I think we need to move towards universal care. The problem is we can't do it when this country is going bankrupt, and the American taxpayer and the American family feels that bankruptcy today. Let's phase it in.
Senator Frist, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Senator Frist has a book coming out in October. You can pre-order it at Amazon. It's called A Heart to Serve. Thanks so much.
I feel like I'm in the Senate, actually, listening to that. I feel like I'm one of your colleagues on the other side of the aisle there. That was great. Thank you so much, Senator.
Thank you very much.
All right, coming up, steak, even if the economy is rough.